want you to go back to Daniel. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. But go back to Daniel, and I did fail to mention, now this Tuesday we'll have a night watch service. I know I've announced this a bunch, but I want to make sure I announce at least one more time. That'll be our midweek service Tuesday night. Midweek service will be Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and Lord willing, we're going to midnight. So I'm going to turn some of our young preachers loose, and some not so young, a couple not so young. And I think when you get toward 30, you're not so young anymore. Amen. Amen. I was texting with Thomas the other day, and I said, "Do you realize you're just a couple years away from being middle age?" Amen. Yeah, I told him, I said, "I'm over the hill." I said, 70. I said, "You'll be 35 in about 4 years." I said, "You almost at middle age." Did I get that wrong? Okay. All right. I said, "You about middle age." I'm sorry. I said, amen. But some of them ain't gonna be so young. Faith done got me rattled up here. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter number 1. And I want to read the first 8 verses. And so be here. I know we'll have some preaching. And then about 9:30, we'll have a break for about an hour. We'll get back in here, and then we'll have another service, have another message. And so we're looking forward to that, a little more singing. And then a little bit before 12, we'll be praying in the new year. And you said, "Preacher, watch the rapture takes place." Then y'all find somebody to preach. I mean, these preachers going to be gone. Amen. Amen. You take care of that for me, see it. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. All righty. Look at verse number 1. "In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the house, the treasure house of his God. And the king said unto Asphanez, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now he brought them in, looking and believing and eating and living a certain way." He said, "In 3 years, I want to be completely opposite of that. I'm going to feed them my food, give them my booze." And he said, I want you to reprogram them in 3 years. I want you to bring them back to me." Now, folks, I may be missing this, but he said, basically, he wanted to see them for 3 years. "I want y'all to do a work in them and on them." See, we think 3 years is not a long time. And he was certain in 3 years he could completely change these boys. Some of them he probably did. We think, I just get on the outskirts, so to speak, of the world, and I don't hang around there much. It's not going to change me much. It will. It will. It'll change you. It'll change you much. Most of God's people walk in tight ropes. See how just close, as close to the world they can get. But I promise you, which way you lean is the way you'll fall. Just like a tree, you cut it where it's leaning is where it's going to fall. And so my advice is stay way away from it. Amen. And if you fall, it won't be into the world. Amen. You can still get up.
Right.
You can still get up if you fall in the world, but the damage may be greater.
Right.
The shame may be greater. The regrets may be greater. Come on. So he's out, in 3 years, he said, I believe I can change them. And he was confident of that. So in verse number 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the priest of the eunuchs gave names. So he's trying to change their whole identity.
That's right.
Not only their look, not only their likes, but their identity. He's trying to change. He's going to change everything about them. I'm going to give you heathen names. Folks, let me tell you something. What does the world right now know you by? What does the world right now know you by? Folks, you understand there's a lot of people living double lives. They're living double lives. They're one thing among God's people and another thing among the devil's crowd. What do they know you of as? I mean, how do you represent? Who do you represent? So now he's saying, you know what? Over there, you might have a name that you were given, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, but now over here, you're going to drink different, going to eat different, you're going to learn different. We want you to act different. And your God's going to be different. You know what he said? Over there, you can serve the God of heaven. Over here, you can't. Over there, you can pray to God of heaven. Over here, you can't. Over there, you worship the God of heaven. Over here, you better not. And he said, to instill all this, he said, I'm going to make you Gentiles, spiritually speaking, and I'm going to change your name. Folks, you understand that as long as they were there, the Babylonians, none of them, they didn't call them by what God called them. But I like it. They didn't let the tag the world put on them change them. Hey, the world's going to put a tag on you and me.
That's right.
Don't let them change you.
Amen.
Let's look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to show me mercy. And Lord, clear my heart, my mind of one thing, and that's the word of God you want me to preach. I ask you, Father, Lord God, to touch hearts and lives. Lord, I need this message today because, Lord, we're coming up on a new year. And, Lord, I want to change right. I want to get closer. I don't want to make a resolution, but I do want to purpose some things. And, Lord, we understand the Christian walk isn't a every blue moon or when we have a right feeling. It's a daily walk. And, Lord, we understand the Christian race is a marathon, not a sprint. And I pray, Lord, we'd be faithful daily. Whatever you see fit to bring our way, that in the adversities of life, that we'd be faithful to you. And Lord, please have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I'm going to try not to re-preach what I've already preached. But actually, I only got to the first point. But we basically looked at Daniel. Chapter 1, we are introduced to Daniel. And of course, not only Daniel, but we have his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they are his friends, and they, out of the group of young boys, out of the group of young men that gets brought in, they have lineage that's right. Their education is right. Their intellect is right. And their abilities with science and technology of that day was right. I don't know if they were just special gifted or special trained before he got them, but however, he brings them in. Now, I don't know about then, but I believe it's probably the same. Maybe, this is just my thinking. Maybe, you know, most time these people that have you know, they're the king's lineage, and they had certain privileges. They had the knowledge. You know, they probably had a following. They probably had a following. You know, some of the other young men probably followed them. And so maybe, I'm not trying to add to Scripture, I'm just trying to preach the text. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? If we can change these guys, the rest will follow. And it's amazing to me, he wasn't interested in the over-the-hill generation. Get that. Nebuchadnezzar was not interested in the over-the-hill generation. And he was interested in that particular young generation. You notice, during all this election stuff, who some were being targeted? Wasn't us. When I say us, I mean us that are older. They pretty well already thought, we ain't changing them. They set in their ways. They bullheaded. You know, they're not. But if we can get the young generation, if we can turn them against the Word of God, if we get them to be offended over everything, if we can get them to rebel against their authority and turn everything over, hey, put their whole trust in us and let us run their lives, we've won. Folks, I'm not preaching politics. I'm not preaching D's and R's. But hey, parents, teach your kids the Bible. Amen. Teach your young people the Word of God. Amen. Our teachers that teach these age groups, I'm talking about from the toddlers on up to teens, know that you have a divine purpose in that class. You have a divine purpose to get them grounded. I mean, to cover them with the truth. Amen. You understand, this may be silly to some, and I'm getting off track here, but I was taught to respect this book in a Sunday school class. And it wasn't the subject of the class that day. I couldn't tell you what the teacher taught on. But I remember this lesson. There was a boy in the class, in the Sunday school class, had his Bible on the floor and had his foot on it. Now, again, he was a kid. He'd give us a break. We 7, 8 years old. And I do know his parents, they'd have killed him if they saw it. And like mine would have. And the teacher stopped. Didn't scream, didn't yell, just put her hand on his shoulder and called his name, and she said, please pick your Bible up from the floor. That's God's holy word. Amen. We don't set that on the floor and we don't put our feet on it. Amen. And she, I can't remember what, but I didn't listen to a thing that woman said. But God put that in my heart. There you go. Yes, sir. Very much. This is free. The only other book I put on top of this book is another book like this. Yes, amen. I don't sit on the floor. I don't put my feet on it. Hey, I had a 3 or 4 years where I really disrespected it. As far as throwing it in the car and leaving the car and never picking it up. But God dealt with me on that. But it's always been, hey, this is God's word. It's God's word. So he said, if I can change this young generation, that's what he's working on. Intelligent. He wanted them to get too smart for God. See, that's the pull of Satan now, to get our young people, which are intelligent. We have a generation of young people that are smart. I'm talking about God-given intellect. Are you listening to me? I told somebody the other day, man, in fact, it was yesterday, I believe, Brother Jason Kerr's son. I said to him, I said, yeah, I'm one of them you can see that God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That no flesh can glory in my presence. But there's some young people here that, man, the Lord has blessed you with great knowledge. And be very careful When you go to places of higher learning and they're trying to take your knowledge and pervert your knowledge. Preacher, how do they do that? By telling you and teaching you that you were just told a bunch of fairy tales growing up. And that country church you went to are dumb. They don't know what. Hey, we may not know a lot. We know what's real. We know the Holy Ghost. Hey, we know what God uses, God blesses. Amen. That's right. And hey, somebody said one time, said if you walk by an old man and he's sitting in a rocking chair peeling up an apple, sit down and listen to what he's got to say. But Satan's ploy, Satan is smarter than us, but his tactics don't change. And just as though when we see these Gentiles' powers running over Israel because of their rebellion, they're now trying to get a hold of the young people that had been taught truth. That seeing God move and see God provide. Hey, one thing Israel did, they kept their young people up to date on their history and what God had done and where God had brought them from and all that God did in their life. And now, he said, I'm going to wipe all that out. But old Daniel said, I don't think so. Then pre-Hebrew boy said, no, don't think so. They already purposeful they got there. Hey, when they pulled up on the bus. When they pulled up on the camel. To that institution. They already made their mind up. I don't care what he says, what she teaches. I know in whom I believe. Amen. I know. I got knowledge of whom I have believed. You ask me how I know he lives, teacher. He lives in my heart. Amen. And you're not changing me on where I stand with God. Again, these boys was probably in the minority, probably getting scoffed at, but they couldn't deny the hand of God was on them. Hey, what did that crowd say about the apostles? We perceived you're ignorant and unlearned men. We can tell you've been with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There's something different about you. You got the power of God in your life. They knew there was a difference and it irked them. It aggravated them. Got them upset. And so what did they do? Went to killing them, imprison them. And so now that's what Satan tried. When he sees he cannot change Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, what does he do? Tries to kill them. Tries to kill them. You don't think the devil will do that? He's trying that now? Amen. Folks, Satan is after our young people. Somebody shared today of a human trafficking ring that were busted up in Rutherford County over the road here. Now I know I'm on the, I know, oh Lord, I know I'm, I know what I'm, I know where I'm preaching. I'm talking about on the internet. But if they find them, all them people guilty, just line them up. Well, that's not the love of God, folks. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. It's amazing. And it's all the work of the devil. And we're seeing that unfolding again. In these last days, we see in Satan, he's trying to round up all these intelligent, gifted young people. And he's trying to change them from what they've been taught. And folks, I hate to tell you this, but he has a lot. Folks, I know young people that breaks my heart that and some even my age that I knew used to love God or thought they did, man, they're against everything God's for. And they bite in and they get hoodwinked into this. You was just abused in that fundamental movement. I love my children. But you better not be making no podcasts after I'm gone about surviving fundamentalism. That's I'm going to say, Lord, you see that mess. Send somebody down there to beat the daylights out of them. The truths of God's word. Hey, I love my children. They've sacrificed some things for being who they are. They face the persecution of being who they are. But I tell you one thing, I've lived with them. They've been blessed for being God's people. Amen. I can't even remember the name of that. I guess the Lord don't want me to remember it. But y'all know what I'm talking about. They hear me, they'll have me on there. I don't care. Amen, Brother Tommy. Amen. But we saw, if I don't get into the message, I'll never preach. Let me run. Daniel's problem. His placement. Again, that's the will of God. God turned them over to Nebuchadnezzar. God turned the nation over because of their rebellion, their sin. God's trying to wake them up. He's trying to wake them up. And so now even part of the things of the temple, they took out of it, put it in their God's temple. I mean, it's a mess. But Daniel has been put in a place that's very different, very uncomfortable, very satanic. Going in the opposite direction of God. And so now he's a man of character. He's a man of conviction. He's done put it in his heart. I'll die before I give in to this crowd. So he's in a place. He's among the world's people. He's in the world's palace. And he's offered the world's provisions. Folks, Satan will put you in all this luxury and offer you everything if you'll turn on God. If you just turn on God, the devil will give you anything you want. Folks, many have sold out. Folks, if we knew the half of all this stuff, and I know some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Some of you know more than I'm even saying because I don't know much. But all this stuff, P. Diddy and all that stuff, I mean, it's wicked. And they say, this is not a cliche, this is a fact. They've sold their soul to the devil. They've said it. And he's gave them everything they've wanted just to warp and pervert their mind to think they can do what they want to whoever they want. Taking kids out to an island and underground tunnels, human trafficking. These people got millions of dollars. Why in the world would they want to do that? It ain't for the money. It's demonic. It's not right. It's ungodly. They don't need the money. Oh, if I get off on that, I'll never get to preach. But Daniel, he gets put right in the middle of that lifestyle. Folks, we think that, you know, and it is, I know it's waxing worse the last days, but folks, all this perverted wickedness, it ain't just started. It's been going on a long time. Folks, there's kings that served, that sacrificed their children to their idols. Then they'd eat their kids. Folks, that's in the scriptures. Folks, it's vile. But God has set up a remnant that, hey, like them three Hebrew boys, they wouldn't bow, wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn either. And folks, in these last days, we need some of God's people to quit giving in. Just quit giving in. Parents, I understand. I'm a parent also. I understand sometimes you get tired of battling the same battle all the time. Fighting the same fight. But I promise you, as the old songwriter said, it'll be worth it after all. Don't give up. Don't give in. I understand when they get about the old roof, they ain't nothing you can do but pray and talk to them when you can. That's all you can do. Parents, let me give you this. My mind's all over the place tonight. Parents, let's listen to this. Stop allowing the devil to run the guilt train through you when your parents, when your children don't turn out right. And stop letting him run the pride train through you when they're doing good.
That's good.
Just like me, just like you, our kids, they are what they are by the grace of God.
Amen.
The dumbest thing you can do is say, my child will never do that. The dumbest thing you can do is say, huh, that may happen to that family. It won't ever happen to mine. Buckle up. You're next. Better have some compassion. And folks, didn't the Lord put the shortcomings of Israel in the church epistles for our admonition, our warning? In the privacy of your home, you can use things of your children as examples. Hey, you go this way, that's where you're going. Just the same place they ended up, that's where you're going to go. And you know what? You're no better than they are.
Right.
Yeah, hey, if you don't stay close to God, hey, if you don't make right decisions, if you don't have right friends.
Good,
amen. If you go off on your own tangents, do your own thing, that's where you're going. That's where that road leads.
Amen.
Don't think that you're better and it won't happen to you. Those that went down that road smarter than you are, made better grades than you made, had strong families. But they purposed in their heart they was going down that road, doing that thing. Quit letting the devil keep you all down in the mouth because the way your child is where they're at right now at the point. God can change that.
Amen.
They made the decision. You put a King James Bible in their hand. You taught them the ways of God. You put them under a church pew, under a preacher, and you give them more than you got.
Amen.
Hey!
Amen.
You're
right.
But when they're doing good, even for Jesus, oh, you can praise the Lord. You ought to. But you'll continue to pray to the Lord that they stay there. Oh, folks, I've seen it, man. I've seen it. Some of you have been in this thing a long time. Folks, the arrogance and the pride of some of God's people is frightening.
That's right.
I mean, it scares you to hear what they say.
Yes, sir.
I mean, sit back and chew and dog another family.
Right.
Hey, you better be careful of these bandwagons you get on. Because the more vocal you're on these bandwagons, that's got a chance. The devil said, while they're fussing about it, I'm going to slip in the side door and put it in their family.
Yeah.
You better get on your face. You better pray. Folks, I didn't have perfect parents, but I had Christian parents. They brought me up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I was corrected when I needed to be corrected. I was praised when I deserved to be praised, but never, ever was it accepted in our home to belittle people that was less fortunate than us. Was never accepted. Never think we were better. Never think that, what's happening to our kinfolk's kids, it won't ever happen to us. Some of us were just better at hiding it. Hello. I knew a girl that started skipping school. And to get to her house, she'd have to drive by her pastor's house. I'm telling a true story, 40-year-old one. Well, she got a name around the church that she just wild, no count. And what they did not know, that their daughter, the preacher's daughter, was laid in the floorboard until they passed by her house. Huh? Be careful. Be careful. Huh? I told you this before. I was, me and my dad, before he passed away, we'd eat breakfast once a week at Granny's Kitchen in Inman. And I was, me and my daddy got in a big way of talking, and I told something on myself and forgot he didn't know it. I was 40 years old. Boy, his eyes got glassy. And he said, if I knew the half, I'd probably whip you right now. I said, well, you won't know the half because I don't make that mistake again. That's under the blood. There ain't no sense me bringing that up. Nebuchadnezzar's whole feat. I'm going to change this young generation. I'm even going to change their name. I'm going to change their look. Hey, in 3 years, you're not going to recognize them. What they're going to believe, how they're going to talk, the things they're going to indulge in. Y'all ain't even going to know them. Have you run up on somebody you ain't seen in a while and the devil done that to them and you not recognize who they are? You know, you don't even know who they are. You look at them and say, I know you. That was Nebuchadnezzar's whole feat. That was Daniel's problem. Let me see Daniel's purpose in verse number 8. And Daniel purposed, listen, in his heart. Now, I understand the heart. There's three things the heart can be. It can be deceived. According to Jeremiah 17:19, the heart is deceitful above all things, deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? And then in Mark chapter number 7, let me turn over that right quick. I'm hurried. And not only can it be deceived, it can be defiled. Mark 7, look at verse 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It also can be devoted, just like we see in verse number 8. Preacher, what he's saying, what Daniel had in his purpose was more than this. It was deep in him. Folks, I want my life as a Christian to be just more than a surface where I'm doing this because that's what I'm expected to do in my position, or it'll keep people thinking good of me. No, I want it to be deep in me. I don't want it just to be a hypocritical show of the flesh. See, say, these boys that entered in into Babylon, it separated those that had a surface spirituality and those that really had it. And those that really had it was far fewer than those that didn't. Folks, God had a purpose, and you know what Daniel said? He's put it in my heart. He's put it in the depths of my being. He's put it in the depths of my being, and I do not want to defile it. Folks, Joseph, look at how he got to where he was, and God had a plan and purpose. I'm talking about Joseph of the Old Testament. God used him. How many? He was lied on, thrown in prison by Potiphar's wife. He went through all these things, sold first, and you know what he went through. But God had a plan to do what? To save his people. And when a woman caught hold to him, he left her there holding his coat. What's happening here? He had more than just a surface religion. It was in his heart. He said, how in the world, and I'm paraphrasing, How in the world can I do this thing against my God? Folks, you understand that Daniel, Joseph, men like that, they're looking at sin like God looks at it. They're men of like passions as we are, as all of us are, but they were looking, they were seeing, their lives were so in tune with God, they were seeing that sin, even though the enticement was there, but the thought of displeasing God, it had nothing to do with the brethren. Didn't have nothing to do with trying to show off in front of a congregation. Their heart was so, so deep with God, they couldn't even stand the thought of doing that against Him. Folks, honestly, if all you've ever been guilty of is shoot your mouth off and talk about a dream you had that got you in that much mess, got your brothers hating you, you got sold off, then God blesses you, and you're working up the ladder, and God's blessing you, and then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce you, and then when you say no, and you run, she lies on you, you get put in prison, and then you try to help a baker, and then the butler, and then one gets killed, one forgets about him. And you spend that time in prison. I don't know about y'all, but some of us probably said, God don't care anything about me. So I'm turning my heart against Him. These men did not. It was deep in them. Why? Because they believed that God had a purpose. And when it was all said and done, Joseph let us know he knew what it was. When Daddy died, the brother said, he's going to have us killed. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. I had to go through these things, these trials and these heartaches and being alone, being in prison, being done wrong. I had to go through these things to get me to the place I am right now. For God could use me big and save much people alive. We don't look at the big picture. We don't look at the big picture. We look at the now and what's in front of us and how we feel about it. Folks, it really doesn't matter how we feel about it. Daniel's purpose. Daniel's protection. Verse 9, we see his prominent care. Now God had brought Daniel into favor. See, God did this. God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know what? God gave him favor with another servant. The prince of the eunuchs, the ones that was serving them. The ones that were taking care of them, that was their job. Prominent care. Pleasant countenance in verse 15. And at the end of the 10 days, this is after they let him eat lentils. He said, preacher, what in the world is a lentil? A lentil basically is just a plant that they eat the dry beans, like beans and different peas. They boil them and that's what they eat. Right. Folks, you understand that. Now, folks, I'm not criticizing bologna. I ate fried bologna yesterday. I did yesterday. Two big sandwiches. Fried. Cheese. Duke's mayonnaise. The whole nine yards. Yes, barbecue potato chips. I had it. Diet Pepsi. I was in. That's us. But I promise you, the king wasn't offering Daniel bologna. Can you imagine how, while they're cooking all these other boys, the king's meat, can you imagine how that smelled? I'm just saying, folks, Daniel couldn't have been a Baptist preacher. He'd have failed. But it was so deep in him. I'm not defining myself with that. I don't care how good it smells. All them old boys over there going, woo, Daniel, are you sure? Mama didn't cook us nothing like this. Oh, Lord. We've never had a ribeye like this. We're cutting it with a fork. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all see that dessert table over there? All them dainties? That's what Papa calls them. I'll give you a Bible word, girl. You see all that stuff? They're eating bull dry pea seeds and bean seeds and lentils. And at the end of the day, them days, they look better than the rest of them. They look better than the rest of them. God put protection, prominent care, a pleasant countenance, and then a powerful comprehension. If you, verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look at verse 20. And in all manner of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers that were in all his realm. Folks, the journey sometimes is hard, but the end result's always good. Folks, can you imagine getting thrown in a fiery furnace and it heated up 7 times hotter and you don't even smell like smoke when you come out? And you're walking around in there and they said, didn't we throw 3 men in there? But there's 4. They're walking around in the fire. One old preacher said, you know why they're walking around, don't you? He said, it's trying to get warm. And come out of that thing, and the guys that opened it back up, it killed them.
Yeah, that's right.
And their clothes nor hair was singed. One of the reasons I love Pay at the Pump, I don't have to walk in them smoke-infested stores. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but I can't handle it. I'm smelling myself, and I'm beginning to see now, I've seen later, why I wasn't too popular at Bible college. Y'all thought I smoked. Because I didn't have any sports coats. I wore my daddy's. He was a 3-pack of Cools a day. As a matter of fact, I went to the coat pocket one time trying to find a pen. Right in the middle of the Bible college, I pulled out a whole pack of Cool Filters. Whoop. I said, I bet Daddy's mad. He's probably looking for them. But they come out of that. You couldn't even tell they'd ever been in it. Couldn't tell they'd ever been in it. Then here Daniel is. Hey, you better not pray to your God. Oh, I'm praying to my God 3 times a day. I think, did I hear some of y'all practicing that song, Daniel Prayed? Okay, I'm going to hear it next week, y'all practicing it. Okay. Only inspiration song. Don't make me start singing it. I'll have y'all clapping and stuff, and I'll get pride. But he stays in there all night long, and the king is, he's rolling around. He's all to pieces. And gets in there, and Daniel, is it well? Yeah, it's well. I've slept on a line all night long. The Lord shut their mouths, but their stomachs was growling. He throwed that other crowd in there that accused Daniel and their family. See, sometimes the journey It's hard. But the end result, you'll be a trophy in the hand of God. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Thank you for your patience. I didn't mean to preach this long. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open.